good evening. This is the Castle Rock Electric Commission calling our meeting to order. This is 5:30, September 27th, Castle Rock Elections Commission called to order.
Chair Arvidson?
Here.
Vice Chair Fletcher?
Present.
Commissioner Bonham?
Here.
Commissioner Bellis?
Here.
Commissioner Jensen?
Here.
All are present.
Okay. Let's review our previous minutes, and if everybody's good with our previous minutes, we can be open for a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes as presented.
A second.
The minutes are approved. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to vote the last time, too. Let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those not in favor? The ayes have it. The motion is accepted. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Councilman Dietz, you had things you wanted to say before we jumped into our agenda.
Just a simple thank you again. You're all being here, taking the time to do this. To me, the annexation stuff you guys are going to talk about is important, even though it small little pockets what we're doing. The boards and commissions changes are going to happen. We're going to be reviewing that again. The biggest thing is it's going to be the only two things. It's going to be there will be no more WebExing in. When exactly we do that, maybe we'll wait till next May, till the next actual cycle comes, but we'll work that out. But we'll work it up. So there's going to be term changes and absences. This one, what we meet, I'm surprised now we've met twice in a month. That's a record. But mostly if you went miss once a year, and I get it, but generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, town clerk, you usually get a 30 to 40, at least a 30-day heads up on these meetings, right?
Yeah, we can. We always schedule them when everybody can meet.
So you give the times you've been
getting. Try to get a day that everybody can come unless there's an urgency to it.
Because this is kind of a unique group because you can do that. So those things are coming. Look for that to affect other boards and commissions y'all might try to be on in the future. But trying to really make people really commit to this. We're a town of 85,000 now. It'll be Castle Rock residents only, et cetera, et cetera. Simply tonight, it's important, and I'm very honored to have all five of you here, and I appreciate that. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Councilman Dietz. Next on our agenda is scheduled for an update from our town attorney.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the Election Commission. As I understand, you had some questions arising out of the last session. We were talking, from what I understand from our town clerk, we were talking about changes to the town election code, kind of cleaning up, updating, making sure that we're in good shape. I would report on that project. We're working on it. I am working with the town clerk. Also, I've retained one of our most noted municipal election law experts, Jeff Wilson, who used to work at the Colorado Municipal League. He was the counsel to the Municipal League, and he's in private practice now, but he's been helping a number of jurisdictions redo their code. And we're talking about making sure that we really streamline our code, because some of the things that we've noticed in codes across state, most of us do coordinated elections with the county, and this is certainly true here. Ms. Anderson tells me we haven't done our own special election since 2017, and that any special elections we've done since that time, as well as of course our regular elections, are done in coordination with the county clerk and recorder. And for that, the provisions of state law work just fine. It's Title I, Articles 1 through 13, which is the state election code, govern coordinated elections, and that's what's cited in our charter. And then if we ever do need to do our own special elections, our Uniform Municipal Election Code works quite well for that, Title 31, Article 10. So the proposal that we're looking at is just simply referring to those codes, adopting them by reference. You might already say they may be already adopted by reference in the charter. And then really concentrate on three areas where I think we want to take our own approach. One of those is in reference to the Fair Campaign Practices Act, which governs contributions and such to candidates. State law kind of puts some very arbitrary limits. We don't feel that, and I think historically in this town, we felt we need to chart our own course. So the idea would be to adopt an ordinance that supersedes state law there with respect to our municipal elections. And then we also need to adopt a third-party complaint process for when folks file initiative and referendum petitions, nominating petitions, essentially anything to do with our recalls. We need to be able to provide a process when we're looking at petitions and we have concerns when our town clerk looks and says, hey, you missed a few things here. We want to be able to give a fair process to the person who's doing the petition. And so we want to be able to have a good, robust process that gives them the opportunity to cure and meets all the standards under the Colorado Constitution for that process. Since the Secretary of State's office has told us in no uncertain terms, they aren't going to look at municipal petitions. And then the third area I would say that we need to look at is to make sure when we do our initiative, referendum, and recall petitions, we need our process, particularly with regard to charter questions. So I think we need to make sure we have a robust process there. Those would be the areas I think we're going to do a deeper dive in rather than do something via reference for the most part. As I understand it, there were some questions concerning jurisdiction last time you met, in particular dealing with municipal election offenses. Am I correct on this, or is this where we're at?
Yeah, you're very, very, very close. And of course, you should have known, seeing that I'm on the agenda, that I'm the one that's in the weeds on this question.
Got it.
The biggest, again, all of the things you outlined, totally in favor of looking at and giving feedback and suggestions on. I don't think when we looked at it last week, that wasn't where the question really was. The question was there was several elements within special elections, particularly, or sometimes even with complainants that were going to Douglas County. Our items are on a Douglas County ballot, and who's responsible for that level of enforcement? Because I saw your name, our local, the local prosecutor, Castle Rock Police. So those were the areas where I was just like, this looks like it's kind of a carryover. Is this really where we still are wanting to be? And that's where the question kind of came from. Not that we're trying to drive a particular direction, just it seemed not like the business that Castle Rock wants to be in.
Right. I understand completely, Commissioner Fletcher. I think the thing I would suggest is this, that anytime you're dealing with election offenses, by adopting the state election code with regard to coordinated elections and the municipal election code with regard to special elections, I think you're covered there, because really, the municipal offenses that I see in our code today and are essentially already outlined in state law. It's virtually verbatim, except for references to me and the prosecutor, right? I think I think one of the things we would rely on is that when we have a coordinated election, since it's run by the county, it's the county clerk and recorder's obligation, if there is a problem, to report that to the Douglas County Sheriff and in turn to the DA's office. So I think we would be looking at those prosecutions occurring at a county slash district court level. I think if we were doing our own special elections, that's when we would turn to our own Castle Rock Police Department and to the municipal court to prosecute those offenses. By incorporating the municipal election code, we incorporate those offenses. I can tell you that I've been doing this 40 years now. This is year 40. I do not ever remember seeing a municipal election offense prosecuted. And actually, Lisa and I worked together for a number of years, Aurora. Nothing happened while we were there. It's like the rare beast. Probably see more unicorns than election offenses being prosecuted.
Maybe simple examples, and I won't mention names, but there was something about a certain person not getting their registration in. A certain council member wrote a letter into the Secretary of State, and like you said, it wasn't prosecuted, and I think you know which one I'm talking about. But I just don't want to mention names.
Yeah, and I think honestly,
so that's, you're right. It was the
that.
Secretary
yeah.
of State said, nope, keep it in house. It was really up to how we wanted to handle it. And to me, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, and on those things, I'll follow up on that, Councilmember Dietz. Thank you for reminding me of that.
It's example in once in 4 years.
That actually, I think, would be covered under that third party complaint process as opposed to a criminal offense. Criminal offense, you're going, that's a different level. That one really is a matter of, did we get the petition in on time? Does somebody have an opportunity
to
cure?
Was it really a crime?
And it's not really a crime. It's really more of a, essentially something where you would have the opportunity to challenge a finding that, say, a petition wasn't proper. Or for someone in the community to challenge whether that petition was proper. That's more of a civil remedy as opposed to what I would call a criminal remedy. In fact, rather than a civil remedy, an administrative remedy. So, yeah, and I thank you for that. That's a good segue into this whole discussion.
So then it's safe to say something that happens here stays here. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like if you have a municipal election fence in a special municipal election that's conducted by the town clerk, mm-hmm. that would stay here, that would rest with Castle Rock PD, and it would be prosecuted in the municipal court, Chair Arvidson. I think that's really the
and likewise state potential issues would go to the county and the state.
Yeah, and with all regard to those coordinated elections, and that is, frankly, once that was done, and I want to say that came about in the 1990s, Lisa, remember? I'm trying to remember back to my days at Aurora, because I remember when we started doing the coordinated election process, it was welcomed by all of us in the municipal community because we could just simply have a county handle the process. In Aurora, we had three counties handling the process back in the day. Here, I think we have a very good relationship with our county clerk and recorder, and it just makes things more simple, more easy to see. And it really came, and I will say, it really came about after Tabor, because when Tabor was adopted in 1992, the idea was set out in the amendment to coordinate those Tabor elections with the county. And I think it just soon became obvious it made sense to all of us, send them all to the county if possible.
If I may, Chair Arvidson.
Councilman Dietz, yes.
Real quick, and then I'm gonna run, but safe to say if we do find out it's a crime, I'm guessing council can't get involved to decide. There will have to be something you and the municipal judge take care of and the police.
Actually, yeah. When you're looking at a charging decision, Councilmember
Council's
Deeds,
out of it.
You guys are out of it. You guys are out of
wanted
it.
Wanted to clarify that.
Your complainant is probably going to be our town clerk or the county clerk and recorder, and it's going to be evaluated with our police department and probably our contract prosecutor, if it's at the municipal level, would be the one who I would rely on.
Again, third party.
You got it.
Okay.
Would it be to say then any election issues of integrity that this commission might see or hear of or have any kind of information on, then it would go to the town council, or would it go to the town clerk? How would that?
Well, if you had information concerning offense, I think I would report it directly to the Castle Rock Police Department.
Okay.
And if it's a county coordinated election, directly to the Douglas
County Sheriff.
County Sheriff.
Thank you.
Because then that's who handles that intake.
Further discussion from any of the commissioners?
No, thank you. I saw the language and I wanted to make sure it would, since we're going through and revising it for the first time in however many years, this is the opportunity to tighten it up and make sure it's what we actually want it to be doing. So thank you.
Absolutely. And I think even further tightening it down to refer most of it, adopt codes by reference, probably the easiest thing for us to do and the easiest thing for our town clerk to follow. I think rather than repeating ourselves, saying something twice, right, let's just use the models that we have, which are pretty good models.
Yeah, and as Mike had referenced earlier, that we can adopt that, and if there's exceptions to those, then we can call those out.
Exactly. So. It makes it a lot easier to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I have a another question that might be up your alley as well. If the committee would indulge me, I would like to bring up some of the things that have been going on recently that I don't know how they're going to affect Castle Rock and local elections and county elections, but as to on Douglas County, it's something that I think could come up in terms of the credibility of elections. There was a very interesting letter that was sent to the governor and the secretary of state, date stamped as being authentic in terms of the witnesses that provided testimony.
I would object to this letter being introduced. It's not appropriate to this commission, mm-hmm. and the vast content of this letter has been actively disproven in a court in numerous courts of law.
I would disagree. Could we have bring this to a vote of the committee, of the commission, to introduce this letter as I want
and again I would object that it's not appropriate for a member of the commission to present something like this into the public record. If a member of the public was here to present it, that would probably be a different story, but as the gatekeepers for the election commission, I don't believe this letter is an appropriate thing for us to bring it to this venue.
Not intending for this to be partisan in any way. I think it's a matter of something like the town council to have eyes on. So I'd like to move the commission to vote on this. All in favor say yay. I'm a yay.
We're voting.
To admit this letter into the public record. What it is, it's a I sent it out to everybody previously in the week. That Mr. Case. Basically, it's I think at some point it could have detrimental effects on how we conduct elections in the town of Castle Rock. And it's simply eyes for it to be out in the public, out in the open. People can disprove it or like it or whatever they want to do. I think it's something that it should be visible to town council. Bob, any questions?
We need a second.
While I agree with a lot of the content in the thing, I would probably not agree that this commission should be dealing with it, since most of our elections are handled at the county level. Mm-hmm. That is probably more appropriate. As Commissioner Fletcher said, that if this was presented to the town council as from a citizen standpoint, that might be appropriate to get the eyes on it. I'm not sure how many eyes.
I was under the impression were the eyes to a certain extent.
I would agree with that assessment. We are a lot of times the eyes. And
I'm not. This is not a partisan. I'm not trying to be partisan. What I'm trying to do is illuminate the fact that there's going to be some real serious issues coming down fairly quickly if some of the pieces fall into place that may. Again, being aware of this and having this in the public eye, I think, is a good idea.
Well, as far as I read, county and town is all mail-in ballot. Information is healthy. I see no problem with this information being available and seen.
I didn't see that email, so I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't even read it. But, I mean, just generally here, I understand what you're saying as far as.
Okay. Do we have enough information to take a vote, a yay or a nay, on introducing this as public? All those in favor? Aye.
Sorry, quick point of order. I think the town attorney might have a question as to what we're discussing that might help make sure we're doing things all above board. Okay. Which, to be clear, that's all I'm trying to do is make sure we're being appropriate.
I was just asking Lisa if I couldn't hear if there was a motion and a second.
Yeah, start from the top, if you don't mind, just for clarity and.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. So the motion is to accept this letter as public, and we're introducing the letter as public. We would like the council to be aware of this letter, and that's it. That's the motion that I'm presenting.
I second it.
I just couldn't hear, and I want to make sure Lisa had the record.
That motion is second, and let's proceed to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All in not favor say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, and 4-1, we'll accept this letter as public record. Thank you.
Could I just make a request? For some reason, your microphone is really scratching, and it's very hard to understand you. I don't know if sitting back a ways might help.
It might be handy to have a damper.
Oh, okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that better?
And I think Charles is too. But
oh, man.
Yeah, these condenser mics really pick up breath.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have the damper on it.
Okay. Oh, how's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Luckily, we have a guy here that knows what he's doing, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I did sound a little alien-like. I apologize. Moving along.
Could you just confirm the vote was was it 4-1?
Yes, it was 4-1.
Charles, no. Okay. Was it Charles no or Bob no?
It was me.
You. Okay, thank you.
Moving along to item 3, determining the election districts for newly annexed property. I believe Lisa Anderson, the town clerk, is going to read the executive summary and present what we need to do tonight.
All right. Well, we have got Drew here from GIS, who did a great job making these maps for us. He's running back in again. Wearing several hats tonight. As I had mentioned before, there's only one property that is going to have any population in it eventually, which is Pine Canyon. And they're not anticipating any homes even being built there until 2027. And that's when we redistrict. So this is not a super critical decision tonight, because we will be reevaluating all of the districts in 2027. But we wanted to get this in an election district because we do want a council member that represents that area for anybody that has questions about it. So what we did on these maps is we showed the current populations in each of those districts. Something that I put on your dais was section 4.4-5 of our charter, which gives an outline of what you're actually looking for when you determine an election district, that they're within 15% of the other the highest to the lowest populated election district, not population, actually registered voters. It's not population. And the thing that is in our charter is that the district shall be contiguous and compact whenever possible. And what that means is you wouldn't put Pine Canyon in District 6, for instance, because those borders don't even touch. And so when we go to that map for Pine Canyon, you'll see that it touches actually three different districts. And so what we would normally do would be see which district has the least population that could handle that influx of registered voters. Again, it's not super critical right now because there's not going to be anybody living in that district until we redistrict again. So we did put the population of each district so you can see which district touches it, which one would make the most sense for it to be absorbed into. And then the other annexations aren't going to have any people in it. So I hate to say it doesn't matter, but it really doesn't matter. Other than Lost Canyon probably is the biggest deal because it's kind of a cool new area, right? And so you want to know what council member would represent it, even though there's not residents that are going to be in it. And the only district that one touches is District 5. I think that's 5. Yeah, District 5. So it kind of districted itself if we go by the guidelines in our charter. But again, that is still your final decision. And so we don't want to say it's in District 5 until you bless that and make that decision yourselves. The other annexations are town-owned right-of-ways. And they are in various districts. So again, without population, it's not super critical, but we would want it to make sense of what district that it's touching or that it's mostly touching.
Contiguous. Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if you have any specific questions on this, but the information provided in the memo kind of goes over just what I said for you to be able to make that determination. And so if you want to review those, do you all have copies of those on your packets?
Yeah, let's review and open this up for...
And then I would need a separate motion to designate each election district for each parcel.
That's fine. Absolutely. Let's review and open this up for a somewhat free discussion in terms of asking questions. I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah. Is there an estimate of the registered voter population in the Pine Canyon parcel ultimately?
Yes. I confirmed with Development Services, I think it's about 3,800 or 3,900 total. And so those populations start towards the end of 2027 of about 400 a year, approximately, houses.
Sorry, can I just ask a quick clarification on that? 3,800 or 3,900 voters or residents?
Residents.
Thank you.
Sorry, I keep confusing those terms. I apologize. So homes. And so kind of the quick and dirty that we do is about 2 voters per house. That's probably overestimating, but it kind of captures the ones that we miss because there's going to be more voters in a house. So it's a good average to estimate 2 voters per household.
I think the max build out for Pine Canyon that they are allowed is about 1,800 homes.
Oh, I apologize. Okay.
That's correct.
That's where I got the
1,800, and I think you've got the multifamily down across the highway, and then by the current multifamily, and then single family for the rest. I don't know what they're going to try to develop first. I expect they'll probably be bringing in an application for a site development plan for the first phase of development.
So
later this year.
Real quick follow up then. 1,800 single family residents. Sorry.
That includes multifamily.
That includes multifamily units?
Yes, yeah. I misquoted. I was going on how many registered voters. So he is correct. Thank you for
catching
that.
And that has not been parceled out yet. We're waiting on the site development plan before we see what that ratio is going to look like.
Correct.
Okay, perfect.
The planning areas for the zoning start more toward the middle near the freeway and the more of the commercial areas, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm.
But they can bring those different sites in whatever order they decide to choose. If they suddenly decide they want to throw up a bunch of apartments on Founders, just because it's labeled as site development number 37 doesn't mean it can't be the second thing that comes in front.
Right, but the zoning is fairly specific. If you look at the zoning plan and regulations, you will see that the planning areas include are either single family or multifamily. If that changes, they would have to do a rezone.
Right.
One thing that might be helpful is I can refer you to the ordinance. You have the annexation ordinance, the zoning ordinance, and the vested right ordinances that were passed at the May 20th and then formally adopted at the June 3rd council meetings. So for reference, it's ordinances number 2025-16, 2025-17, and 2025-20, which will show you what is allowed and where it's allowed. Timing on which one goes first, and Commissioner Fletcher, you're correct on that. And I remember those from our years at the Planning Commission together, so.
I blame myself. I was expecting it to move much slower. I would have been paying much more attention and looked it up myself earlier. So I blame. I hold myself accountable for that.
Oh, understood. It was when it moved fast and furious. When the county essentially said, I want to say that was like October, November of last year. They said, go back to the drawing board, work together, town and property owner, and we found agreement after I don't know how long this has been out there, but I'm looking back at records that date back, you know, 12, 13 years for initial submittals. So this has been a long and arduous effort, which finally successfully culminated in a plan that was adopted this summer.
So it looks like if this is a end of 27 with 400 houses per year, this is about a 10-year exercise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. It takes time to develop a property of this size.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Don't want to interrupt. I'm just saying it's going to be market dependent. Market-driven, for sure.
Right. It's always market-driven. After 2027, when's our next redistricting after that? So if we're getting 33, it's every 6 years. So that would be close to the build-out. That would be about 75%. So I think that really helps us when it comes time to actually discuss this one of we need to do something short term to make sure everything's kosher, and that if someone moves in a trailer right away to set up their metro district, they can vote. Someone else gets my whole beef on metro districts.
Oh yeah,
but we don't really have to get down into like getting out street maps or anything like that, because we'll have plenty of time for any adjustments between whatever we want, wherever we want to put it now, and if it gets divided into two or even three different districts, mm-hmm. 6 years from now or 7 years from now, that would just be part of the overall election commission process.
That was a question that I was going to ask. At some point, if one side is heavier than the other, if it's not divided evenly, it could be divided up into more than one parcel as far as that district?
Yeah, we could split it right now and say everything north of whatever longitudinal line is mm-hmm. District 2,
okay.
And everything right. South is 5.
Okay.
But I think that would be overkill for right. What we're looking at right now.
Totally agree.
It occurs to me, looking at the numbers, that even if at the complete build-out, if we added it to District 4 now, it would only be approaching the projection of District 6.
And I think even
yes.
More, yeah, I agree.
So it wouldn't be out of bounds with the numbers.
And I think even more importantly, District 4 does not have potential for a lot of growth, because it's that whole Craig and Gould downtown
right.
Area.
Right.
Every other property always has the potential for something outside of Douglas County to want to annex in, which would then in turn grow those other ones. So I think you and I we're copacetic. That's exactly where my head was at.
To your point, District 4 being downtown is limited in its growth in terms of voters. Mrs. Bonham, I'd like your input. What do you think?
About
the just
yeah, part of
being part of District 4. It's when we combine those two, it's going to be skirting on the total population of District 6, right? So we're not doing any kind of an overkill situation, oversaturating one district versus another. And it doesn't really benefit any council district.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what it does is it provides more parity.
Yes.
To a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also create a very interesting situation for whatever council members running in District 4, because they will have both mm-hmm. some of the oldest houses in Castle Rock in addition to the flat-out newest, most controversial houses of Castle Rock. So that will create a very interesting dynamic.
Perhaps bring a very balanced councilman, huh?
What have you been drinking?
I don't drink.
I agree with that recommendation, so I like it.
It's so
straightforward.
Yeah. So we started with just general conversations on it, and I think the town clerk has answered our general mm-hmm. conversations about timing, the goals that she has printed out with us on the outline. Are we ready then to kind of close out general discussion, either go to specific discussions or start moving through motions with recommendations?
Yeah, why don't we do that, unless we have other questions from the commission?
Just another thought process is, it seems to me that even if the decision we make now doesn't end up being right, we're going to have two more redistricting opportunities.
Right. Yep.
That you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll move to place the motion, Pine Canyon parcel into District 4.
I'll second.
All those in favor say yay.
Yay.
All those against, nay. The yays win it, 5-0. Why don't we follow our motion schedule here and move next to Lost Canyon, Lost Canyon parcel. Lost Canyon being 661.7 acres.
I'm just doing administrative. The trick we can do on these is just do a motion mm-hmm. to annex in Lost Canyon. Okay. And then we can see if we have any discussion on it. And
right.
Then we
can finalize that. All right. So a motion to annex Lost Canyon.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to annex Lost Canyon.
The motion would be to
place it in
the election, in an election district that has been annexed. So.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, that was a phrasing thing that I gave him bad advice on right there. So my apologies. I will own that. I wanted to put these into motion so that we're discussing things on each of the separate annexed lots. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I think, more appropriate to say, I move to have a discussion on what district to place the Lost Canyon into. We will then have a discussion and finalize the motion into a district.
I kind of misunderstood you.
That way we can have a discussion about pros and cons on districts.
Oh. Each one,
right. And then we can finalize the motion into the district and then do the vote.
Well, let's have a motion let's have a discussion in terms of how what we want to do with Lost Canyon in terms of the this particular parcel.
This one, I believe, is the one that looks self-selecting down in the...
The self-selection. it's screaming out to us where it wants to go. So I move to place the Lost Canyon parcel into that district. Let's have discussion on that before we vote.
I agree. I think putting it into District 5 looks to be completely appropriate.
Yep. I don't know why we wouldn't. Now, Lost Canyon, the question I have on Lost Canyon, what is Lost Canyon? That's an annexed parcel that it doesn't have a development plan?
No, it's annexed as open space. It has a conservation easement on it.
It's okay.
Worked out with the Douglas County Land Conservancy. So it's going to remain open space for as long as there's a Castle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the only consideration might be what the bear who lives out there says, as we've seen him on film. But
in the future, nothing can happen to that.
It would have to be the owners of the land, which is currently Douglas Land Conservancy, would either sell or they would need to bring a petition to council to rezone the area outside of.
Okay. Well, it would be we actually own it, but
we own it.
Nice.
Even better.
Douglas Land Conservancy has to
agreed.
Relinquish their conservation easement, which
okay.
That ain't going to happen. Yeah. And besides, I mean, it's defeats perfect open space. So, yeah, it's really, it's a jewel.
I agree. There's just always those little pockets like around the rock with their nominated as open space.
Understood.
Really? No developer is going to come by and say $2 million? Sure, you can have it.
Understood. This is why we did it, because there was one, and they were trying to explore the idea of building out there, and it was like, eh.
No, I guess I have a question on it. How or does it benefit the council member?
You want to do a formal call on annexing? Well, I'll do it then.
Go ahead.
I move to annex the Lost Canyon into District 5.
I second.
The motion is second. We've had discussion. We're closed discussion. Any other comments? Let's take a vote. All those in favor say yay.
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 Yay. All those not in favor say no. The yays have it. And Lost Canyon parcel will be put into District 5.
Five, sorry. Going backwards.
No worries. Next on our items. Am I going out of turn here, Lisa? Are you wanting to discuss? You have much deeper knowledge than I do about Four Corners and South Ridge and South Ridge 2.
Well, aren't all of these just easements? So
yes,
I think these
are easements, yeah.
I think these are almost rubber stamped.
Yeah, right.
You have a question.
I mean, all we need is just a motion to what district they go into. And
mm-hmm. Okay.
If there's any, then ask for public comment. If no public comment, then vote.
Okay.
You're done.
So let's look then at South Ridge 1 and 2. the Four Corners parcel, Gilbert and Plum Creek, they look like they're contiguous with other districts.
Four Corners was the only one that, when I was looking at the map, it looked most appropriate to District 2, but I could be persuaded.
That's
question why District 2 looks to me like it belongs in District 1, or on, 4, on, sorry.
Well, that my I was looking at my map on my phone, which doesn't blow things up quite as cleanly, which is why I put it out there, but also said I could be corrected. So these are the...
That's the Four Corners?
Oh, yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, four.
Is that the mesa that goes between Escavera and 84 or 86?
I don't think it's the mesa. I think it's just like a little
sliver
of land.
Is that county land that's being annexed then?
It was probably something that was eminent domain from a private landowner so that we could run a street or a utility line or something like that is my guess.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I lived right on the borderline of that in Escavera, and we always had gunshots and people doing target practice in the back, and I was told always that it was because it was county.
I'm out in terrain. I get it, too. All the people in between cobblestone and terrain.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right. So do you want to bullet through these then?
Yep, let's do that. Who would like to make the motion?
I'll move to place Four Corners into District 4.
Second. The motion is second. Let's take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those in not favor say no. The ayes have it, 5-0. Sorry. Four Corners will be... that parcel will be annexed into District 4. South Ridge, one Enderwood town owned right away. Contiguous, looks like it's contiguous with.
Thank you.
I'm going the wrong way on my scroll. South Ridge is 2.
Looks like it's in
District 1 is District 2. South Ridge 2 looks like it's District 5.
Yeah, I agree.
We're doing South Ridge 1 right now, right?
Yeah. South Ridge 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's District.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want me to make a motion?
Yep.
I move to place the South Ridge 1 Enderwood Town owned right-of-way parcel into District 2.
Second.
Looks like it's in the center 5.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 It's in 5, isn't it?
It's no, the South Ridge 2 is in the middle of number 5. South Ridge 1 is in the middle of number 2 on our map.
They're both in.
Sure, I'm just looking at the map here. It looks like it's in the green.
It's where?
You guys have this map? I think it's part of the agenda.
Yeah,
I just was saying.
Looking
it's,
at this one.
They're both South Ridge 1 and South Ridge 2 are both in green, which is District 5.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Are we looking at this correctly?
Yeah, because District 2 is the orange.
Yes.
District 2 is orange. District 5 is green. And those are both in the green area.
On the big map, it's in the orange area, but see what you're saying.
Is there,
okay.
is there, oh,
well, the,
you're going off of
the
smaller
two
map?
Is in the
yeah,
orange
closer
area,
in map.
The,
which one?
Oh, there.
Yeah, this is the one I was looking at the Four Corners and why I was confused as to where Four Corners was.
The detail map.
Okay. Well, that changes everything.
That does. I take
thank
my
you.
Motion back.
This figure, we might as well clear it up because it is kind of confusing on that.
I think we're now looking at the right map. Okay.
Receiving.
So, Four Corners. We're good with that, right?
Yes, we've moved on.
So
past that
2
one.
Is 2 and 3 we're going to want to put into District 5.
Okay,
which is
can I change my motion then?
Absolutely.
Retract it.
Strike the
so
earlier
motion.
Shall
I do both of them at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I move I move to place a South Ridge 1 and South Ridge 2, so Enderwood town owned right of way and Plum Creek town owned right of way parcel both into District 5.
You were saying Plum Creek. That's
That's number four.
That's parcel four.
Yeah, it's
so.
Gilbert and Plum Creek.
Which you can, because it's right on the edge.
Well, no, it says I move to place the Southridge 2 Plum Creek town-owned right-of-way parcel. I'm reading the motion.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Is that incorrect?
So all three of them. Southridge 1, Southridge 2, and Plum Creek.
Nope. Okay, I move to place the Southridge 1 Enderid town-owned right-of-way parcel into District 5. And I move to place the Southridge 2 Plum Creek Town owned right-of-way parcel into District 5. Is that not what it says?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, well, let's see, which, where are you getting? Oh, okay, because Southridge 2 is just designated as Southridge 2, Commissioner Bonham. I think the number 4 is Gilbert and Plum Creek, which is the intersection.
So for clarity, the proposed motion that we're looking at in the packet is incorrect.
Oh, is there a proposed motion? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yep. That's what I'm reading.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's okay.
That's fine. We're just trying to
see. Yeah.
We're trying to give you the full title.
I apologize. Yeah.
Sorry, our mistake.
Okay. Because there's two things that have Plum Creek in them. So yes. Sorry about
correct.
That.
All right. Yep.
You're okay.
But I was reading.
Yep.
You're
right.
Reading correctly.
You're reading
correctly. What you were given to read was what was incorrect.
All right.
So let's rephrase the motion.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I think we're good. I think
shall
she's
I
good.
Read them exactly as written here, or shall I?
Yeah.
You're good.
And shall I just say, I move to place Southridge 1 and 2 right-of-way parcels into District 5.
Perfect.
I'll second.
The motion is approved. Let's vote on this and put this to bed. All those in favor say yay.
Yay.
Yay. All, anyone against, please say no. The yays have it. And Southridge 1 and Southridge 2 will be moved into District 5.
Okay. So just the last one then.
Yes. Who would like to make this motion?
So the decision is to put it either 5 or 6. The decision is to either place it into Election District 5 or Election District 6.
Yes.
5 or 6.
It's more straightforward to put it into 5, it looks like to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Why don't you make the motion?
I move to place Gilbert and Plum Creek town-owned right-of-way into Parcel 5.
District 5.
District 5.
A second.
The motion has been ratified. And let's vote on this. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. All those in not favor say no. The yeses have prevailed, and the Gilbert and Plum Creek parcel will be part of District 5. So our next item is a review for our next meeting. And when will that next meeting be?
We don't have anything scheduled. That was just in case you guys had any issue with making these decisions tonight. If not, then we'll just, if another annexation comes up or another item of discussion comes up, we can find a meeting date at that time.
Okay.
And I think all of our questions last time, I think you've been here to address. It was mostly just trying to shine the light, say, is this really what we want to do? I don't think any of us had any real issues with the revisions last time that we would want them brought back in front of us.
No.
Again, I think you were directionally right on. We just kind of wanted to do this.
Old business, CRPD. Yes, old business, as far as any questions from the revisions and any of the discussions from the previous meeting, I think we're good.
Great. Thank you for letting me come and present to you tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Doing. And at this point, I believe our meeting is adjourned.
Awesome. Do we have to have a motion?
Oh, we have to have a motion. I'm sorry.
You don't have to. You can, as the chair, you can just executive.
Well, I
do
wanted
it.
To be.
Several people.
I wanted
several chairs
to this,
do.
I wanted for this to be a true republic. I would make a motion for us to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any noes? Nope. Thanks, friends and family and folks, and have a wonderful evening. This is adjourned.
Lisa.